Hello, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, The Gun Rack. Hello, indeed, and welcome to The Gun Rack, Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast. Now, today we are going to be walking through one of the more popular webinars in recent memory. As some of you may or may not be aware, Sonoran Desert Institute has recently rolled out as part of its curriculum a course on the pistol caliber carbine. This is an elective, and as part of the course you make one, which is pretty exciting. I will answer one of your questions right now. It is in 9mm and 9mm only. I'm just going to head that one off at the pass. Now, I'm going to let them do the rest of the talking as this webinar is right at an hour, which is packed full of important information for you guys if you are prospective takers of the course or even just have questions about what we do with the pistol caliber carbine. There are some basic PCC questions in there that are more general in nature, and all of that is, of course, for you, our listeners and viewers. This webinar was originally done in video, so there will be a couple of moments wherein you will hear some things being done that might be a little better seen. If you want to go follow up on those moments, please go to YouTube and look up Sonoran Desert Institute. We're there. The webinar is there. Give it a check out. But I think that the webinar presents itself well still without the need of the visual stimulation if you are just going about your day and want to be hearing some good stuff about the PCC. Well, that's about it. The voices you're going to be hearing are those of Jennifer McInnes, who is our Vice President of Growth and Marketing, and me in the marketing department. She is my fearless leader. She is very wonderful. We have Frank V. Hill and Gary Zito, who are both on staff here with us. Well, actually, Gary's in the faculty with us, but they're both wonderful. They both helped make this course what it is today. We're very excited to be talking with them about it. They're very passionate about it. And without any further ado, the webinar on all things pistol caliber carbine and our new PCC course.
Okay, I think it's about that time. It is the top of the hour on St. Patrick's Day. Thank you so much for being here. Hopefully everybody in the audience who is not playing with or shooting guns tonight is enjoying a nice little glass of green beer. For me, it's just green tea tonight as we navigate through the webinar tonight. I'm very excited for tonight's topic, and I can tell everybody else is too. We've gotten a ton of emails that have come in prior to this webinar, probably the most emails that have come in prior to a webinar of all time. So I know that we're gonna have a ton of information shared tonight and that you guys are very, very excited about it. Just to lay a little bit of groundwork and to go through a little bit of housekeeping, my name is Jennifer McInnes. I am the Vice President of Growth and Marketing here at Sonoran Desert Institute. Thank you for being here again. Couple pro tips for you. Tonight, the panelists and I, who I'm going to introduce in just a second, are going to be on camera. You guys are not. So the way that you communicate with us is going to be via the chat function. If you have questions, however, that you'd like me to ask the panelists, which I'm sure you guys do, would you do me a favor and put those in the Q&A section of your dashboard, not in the chat? And the only reason for that is there's going to be a chatter tonight. I'm sure it helps me stay organized and make sure that I'm not missing questions if you put the actual questions that you'd like me to ask in the Q&A section and reserve the chat for any banter, you know, with other attendees. I've also told my early birds already, but another pro tip for you is in the chat section itself, pay attention, chat section gives you an option. It's going to default to sending your message just to the panelists tonight. That's me and Gary and Frank. If you want the rest of your attendees to see what you're saying, make sure you change that drop down box to all panelists and attendees so that they can see what you're saying. Okay, so just a pro tip there. Feel free to practice. I love seeing, as we've been looking at city and state from where you guys are tuning in from. Thank you, those of you who have let us know where you're coming from. got literally dozens of states on right now, which is very, very cool. So, without any further ado, again, Q&A, that's where the questions are going. Chat is just to kind of talk back and forth with each other. I'm going to go ahead and get us kicked off and ready to go. So, with me tonight, we have two very important people in the family of SDI. Gary Zito and Frank V. Hill are both here with me tonight. And Gary and Frank, I'm going to pitch it to both of you for just a quick snapshot of who you are, what you do, where you are, all that good stuff. Gary, I'm going to start with you for it.
My name is Gary Zito. I hail out of Queen Creek, Arizona. I've been with SDI going on 6 years now. And I helped, launch a lot of the stuff in curriculum a while back. Right now, I'm a faculty member here at SDI, and that started as of December of last year. So I'm really enjoying teaching. But this course here is the one that we launched. And going back in 2018, we were planning the PCC because of its popularity. And so we decided to launch this project and write the curriculum, and we're so excited to have this come to fruition finally.
Absolutely. You guys have been working on this for a long time. So, Frank, I'm going to toss it over to you. Give us a little bit of a bio.
Hi, my name is Frank V. Hill. I'm out of Lakewood, Colorado. I have been with SDI for probably about 5 years. I started doing content design a few years ago, and currently I am the staff gunsmith under Master Gunsmith Kip Carpenter. So I'm also the owner of Heritage Gunworks out of Lakewood, Colorado. We're a Type 7 SOT. So
very
kind
nice.
Of fully immersed in the gun industry.
That's exactly right. And Gary, you too, right? You have a side business too, right? I mean, I'm all for a shameless plug. You guys know that.
I'm the owner and operator of East Valley Gunworks here in Queen Creek, Arizona. And I apprenticed over there at Caswell's and some other places. So yeah, shameless plug, but I don't have a shirt. I gotta get a shirt.
I know, you gotta get a shirt. Awesome. So tonight we are discussing all things pistol caliber carbine. And like I said before, I have just a hunch that there are gonna be a ton of questions. So I'm gonna do my best to keep us on track. Now, before we do that, those of you who have attended webinars before know what's coming. That's my shameless plug. I'm gonna keep it short and sweet though. For those of you who do not know or are not currently enrolled at Sonoran Desert Institute, SDI is an online school that is specific to the firearms industry. So we offer programs and courses on topics that help set you up for success in the firearms industry. We have a full associate degree, so the Associate of Science in Firearms Technology degree is a 60 credit hour program. We have an advanced gunsmithing certificate, which is a 32 credit hour program. And any of our courses can be taken as one-off individual courses as well, if that's your thing. So we do have plenty of options. Both of those programs are approved for use with most PA and VA benefits, federal student aid to eligible students. We can help you out with all of that good stuff. And if you have any questions or anything that we can help you with from a school perspective, enrollment perspective, feel free to reach out to sdi.edu. You'll find all of the information, or you can hit up the admissions team at admissions@sdi.edu. I think that was under a minute. I think I got in under a minute on that pitch. If, like I said, if you guys need anything, let us know. It's not why we're here tonight. We definitely want to dive into the materials. So, let's talk about the PCC platform in general. I'd like to dig into maybe what makes it a PCC, what maybe the differences between a PCC and an AR-15, that kind of thing. So, who wants to start me off with that?
I'll go ahead and start.
Great.
A PCC stands for pistol caliber carbine, and the major difference between that and AR-15, which is gas operated rifle, is that a pistol caliber carbine, although the features look very AR-ish, quote unquote, the PCC that we use is a simple blowback, and it's a different operation than a gas operated weapon system. So obviously there's differences there from the get-go. The bolt design's different. The buffer is really important because there's buffer weights to consider. So But from a 35,000 foot level, the pistol caliber is controlling the operation of the recoil, and it's not assisted by a gas system.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a follow-up question here, and this came from one of the emails that I got beforehand. What makes a PCC different from a compact AR? I know you just talked about some of that. Mm-hmm. And does a 5.56, is that still considered a PCC? And if so,
no.
How, you know, if it's primarily a rifle round, that kind of thing.
So the difference between a short AR and a PCC would be a standard AR is going to be chambered in 5.56, so it's going to be the caliber chambering. 5.56, everybody knows, is a rifle round. PCCs get their name because they're chambered in pistol rounds. So any of your 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, 357 SIG, 45 ACP, and 10mm. The other difference is going to be, even though the PCC resembles an AR and uses some AR controls, the action is going to be different. And a lot of this stuff is not going to be interchangeable with the standard AR. What was the second part of that question?
I think you got both of them. Difference between, it was the 5.56 and the difference between a compact AR. So I think you
okay.
Had
so it's basically going to be the chambering. Like a full-size AR will take most rifle rounds, your 5.56, 7.62, 39, 300 blackout. Magazines are pretty standard for all that stuff. Your PCC mm-hmm. will be the smaller caliber stuff, so all of your pistol rounds, but still kind of along the same lines of AR platform.
Okay. Let me ask this, and Gary, anything to add to that? I know that we kind of talked through this. I'm going to try to make sure that both of you guys have options to answer these questions too, in case there's a little extra flavor in there, but.
No, we're fine.
Okay.
We're good.
How did you guys decide back in the day, Gary, you mentioned it's been since about 2018, we've been looking at and building out this course. How did you decide? What was the industry telling you, you know, about this platform, and how did you decide to take it seriously enough to make an elective course out of it?
In 2017, the USPSA launched a PCC division. Typically it's just handguns that they dealt with. And the popularity of a PCC was something that you could compete with. Guys were bringing it to these competitions, but they couldn't really use them. So they decided, because of the popularity of things like the SIG MPX, the Ruger PC Carbine, the CZ Scorpion, some of these platforms were so popular with the pistol caliber that they decided to change over. And that really kind of opened the floodgate. And even until now, you see something that just came up with Ruger PC Charger, which is not necessarily a carbine, but it's almost like an Evo without a buttstock.
And so, it's their pistol version of a Scorpion.
Right.
Oh, no, sorry, a PC.
Right. So it's very popular because although the controls resemble what you would see from a MSR, a standpoint or a platform, because it uses pistol caliber rounds, the rounds are cheaper and they're easier to train. You can shoot indoors. You can train in shooting environments. A lot of the ranges that don't allow rifle calibers to a certain degree, like 308 or whatnot, that will certainly allow 9mm PCC, so you get that training at a low cost, and it has more versatility from that standpoint.
I think Gary kind of touched off on the topic of training for the low recoil aspect. Introduction for new shooters, smaller people, children, stuff like that. It's easier for them to shoot with low recoil, mm-hmm. The lower pressure round. Like Gary said, it's cheaper. And I really feel like the competition side of firearms actually really pushed the PCC to go. USPSA actually has a PCC division. 3-Gun has a PCC division. So, I mean, it's all industry driven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go ahead, Gary.
And companies like JP Enterprises, they really make special builds. You know, the SIG MPX has a special competition version of theirs. So it's very in the industry, and it's always kind of been there, mm-hmm. but people haven't really, you know, flocked to it until recently.
What do you guys think? I know that a lot of, particularly the students and grads that are on the line tonight, I know that a lot of people are wanting to own and operate some sort of firearms industry business, what would you say a business owner would need to know about a PCC to stay either in line with the times, or, you know, what kind of understanding should you take from almost a business perspective on this type of platform?
I would say get involved with the competitions in your area, mm-hmm. and see what the guys are running, see what the guys are using.
Okay.
There's tons of accessories. That's something we haven't talked about, but we do in the course. There's no mag limit for USPSA. There's certainly a lot of things that you'll see in the competition circuit, and the guys are going to be asking you questions. And if you don't know the answers to those questions, find out the answer to those questions and get educated beyond what we're going to teach you, of course. But in your local area, find out the guys who are running those division matches and get plugged in.
Yeah, I guess to add to that, I guess it doesn't really even matter that you know about the PCC. It's more so understanding the market in your area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's a lot of competition in your area and a lot of guys are shooting the PCCs, it would be helpful as a business owner to understand that and know what the people are actually out there using. I mean, there's a ton of the stuff on the market, but an entry-level model might not be the best choice for somebody that's looking for a high-end competition gun. Mm-hmm. So,
Gary, you talked about accessories briefly. Let's dive into that a little bit. I've had a ton of questions about mags, ton of questions about some of these other options. We're getting props out. It's the time of the evening.
I think Frank's the best. He's the master of that stuff. I'll let him, okay, let him kind of chime in on more of that.
Frank, so, I mean, your props are ready for us. Let's do that.
I guess without going into it too much, our base kit that we send out is going to be mostly mil-spec. Mil-spec grip, mil-spec stock, mil-spec buffer tube. We do send out a free float M-lock handguard. But for the most part, it's going to be what I would consider entry-level parts. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about the PCC, especially the AR-PCC platform, is it'll accept most aftermarket AR furniture. So as you can see, I mean, aftermarket grip, aftermarket stock, aftermarket charging handles, forward grips, muzzle devices, stuff like that. So, I mean, these things are ready for full customization. And outside of that, I mean, just swapping out internals, trigger groups, bolts, stuff like that, any of the buffer systems, springs, pretty much anything that they would make for, like we would consider a full-size 5.56 AR, they make accessories for every single part of the PCC.
So. Cool.
Sorry, magazines, standard capacity magazines, full capacity magazine extensions. So it will, the kit that we send out will take, the smallest magazine it will take is the 13 round Glock 26 magazine. So anything from the 13 round all the way up to the 45 extended magazine. So
let's talk about the course. So I'm going to pivot and talk a little bit about the course itself, because I think that the topic of PCC in general and the course will kind of merge together, you know, as the conversation goes. So I want to lay a little bit of framework as we talk about what's included in the course versus what's available to the world with a PCC platform. Talk me through the main topics of the course and then when it's available and what's included. I think that will give us a good launching point.
Sure. The first six chapters of this course is the one that I developed. The last two chapters of the course Frank developed, and that would be more the build instructions and everything for that is what he handled.
Okay.
The challenge with this course was when we first started, we were just going to copy and paste pretty much what we did with AR-15. There's an inherent problem with that. The AR-15 had a very direct lineage, very similar to the AR-10. But a PCC had its lineage back to pistols and carbines, and they're all different types of operating systems. And we would be very remiss if we didn't discuss machine guns and the history and the development of how these things came about. So if you're taking that course, you're getting not just, hey, this is the AR-15 PCC, this is a Colt SMG, this is an Uzi, that sort of thing. It's going to be a whole survey of the history and development of what is the ethos behind a pistol caliber carbine, and also the variants therein, and also the operating systems, the accessories, the optics options, which triggers can be a little bit different. I mean, so there's a lot of things that we had to really think back and fill an entire 8-week course off of. And really talking about that development, it makes that a lot more robust, and it helps you understand operations and components and assemblies, that sort of thing. So it's that, in a nutshell, that's what it's all about.
Okay. And then Frank, talk us through the build part of that.
Sorry, it's not coronavirus.
I was hoping not to hear that word today.
I knew I was going to be the one to bring that up. So as far as the build goes, I mean, Jennifer, can I talk about the specifics of what we're sending out?
Here's the disclaimer. Parts may change. You know what I mean?
Vendors may change.
Yeah, manufacturers may change. All of that good stuff may change. And that's just so that we can make sure that we have the right tools in the hands of our students at any given time. So what Frank's going to talk about is what it currently is. It will always be our intention to align the, you know, level of tools with what we think are good for you guys to get started with, but it may not be exactly these manufacturers when and if you go through this course.
Right.
I think we're covered with that disclaimer. Go for it.
All right. Now that Jennifer covered that portion, so the kits that we're currently sending out are going to be the New Frontier Armory. I forget their exact model number, but it's their 80% block small frame lower receivers. So they do make two different variations of their lower receiver, the small frame, which is going to be your 9mm 40 and 357 SIG calibers. That's the kit that we send out. They do have another kit type, which is their large frame, which is going to be the 45 and the 10mm. We are not going to offer that at this time. So the only caliber we are sending out is going to be the 9mm, and we are only going to send it out as a carbine configuration. We're not going to be doing any pistols at the moment. Somebody did mention, is this going to be Cali compliant? We do have a Cali compliant model that we are sending out, so we can cover all those people. But I mean, just going into the model itself, it is a direct straight blowback action, which means there is no locking lugs, no way for the breech to actually lock. The only thing that's closing the breech the whole time is going to be the mass of the carrier and the buffer and the pressure of the spring. The kits that we're sending out is going to be an 80% 9mm lower receiver. So you guys will have to go through and mill that out and clean up some of the stuff, drill out some of the holes for that part of the completion. And then what you guys will be doing is completely assembling the lowers. Depending on the kits we get, you might have to disassemble the upper before assembling it, but you guys will be able to do both assembly and disassembly, so you guys will have a pretty good thorough knowledge of what's going into these builds. Standard with the build is going to be a 16-inch barrel, because these are carbines. Adjustable carbine stock, 6-position, which will come with just a standard mil-spec buttstock. A mil-spec grip, a mil-spec charging handle, and then a flash hider. The handguard is going to be 15, I believe, and a half inches. Free float with M-block accessories. So I mean, you can kind of already see I've started to accessorize this one a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be the standard kit. And then everything, I believe, is shipping out with a 10-round magazine.
Yeah.
So...
I have an example of the vanilla build, Frank.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's.
If you want to, if you want to throw that in.
Yeah.
So here, pretty much, Frank was saying, just a regular buttstock, and then you have your just old A2 style handguard and regular charging handle. Flat top upper, all Picatinny, all the way down. And then, that's pretty much it right there. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's great. And there were a couple follow-up questions that I can help with on that as well. Can graduates take this course? The answer to that is absolutely. They are not, individual courses at SDI are not covered or not eligible for use of TA and VA benefits and federal student aid. So with the understanding that it would be an out-of-pocket or a payment plan type of deal, you are absolutely, as a graduate, eligible to take any of these additional electives. Or we've had a similar question for people who graduated years ago and didn't have either of the muzzleloader courses, that kind of thing. Totally okay with that. Always a good idea to check in with our financial services team to go over any funding options. There was a second one that talked about states excluded from the course. As it currently stands, March 17th, 2020. Oh. Frank's had a little haze on his camera there. Here is where it stands, March 17th, 2020. Now, it's a moving target, you know, so just if you're watching this a year from now, this very well may have changed. If you're a current student, your student services advisor will be able to walk you through the current state restrictions and all of that jazz. But as it stands currently, residents of California, Maryland, and New York, we have compliant kit options for you guys. You guys would have to select a compliant kit if you wanted to take the course. Residents of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Jersey may not enroll in the course. So that's where we stand currently. That may change in one direction or another. And again, if you have questions on that, student services advisors have a form that you will be filling out as a student. As you progress and get ready for this course a couple weeks out, you'll be getting a form to fill out and select which elective you'd like, and that'll be laid out on there as well. So they have that information.
It should be noted that this is not a pistol, it's a rifle, okay? So even though it's pistol caliber carbine, that's not in the GCA or anything, it's a rifle.
Yep, 16-inch barrel and a buttstock.
Mm-hmm. Yep, great note. Okay, cool. There are a bunch of questions as we knew that we're gonna come in. Let's talk, so this is general questions about PCCs. How does the rifle shoot with suppressors? Anybody know anything about that?
So I suppressed my model. I use a Griffin Armament, not an M4 SDK, a Revolution 45. So it's a 45 suppressor. I do have the 9mm end caps and the adapters all set up on this. I use a flash hider quick adapter. Shooting suppressed, I had to increase my buffer weight. We ship out with a standard 3-ounce buffer, which is pretty standard for even an AR-15. When you start suppressing these guns, you will run into back pressure issues. The increase in back pressure from the suppressor will cause the bolt to run a lot faster, which starts to cause a ton of feeding malfunctions. And A, you either have to slow the bolt down with more mass, or B, you have to increase the speed of the rounds coming up in the magazine with extra power springs, which in most cases, you actually have to almost do both. But there are some fine tuning elements to running suppressors, but the biggest trick with that is going to be increasing buffer weight. Most companies are going to run probably around an 8-ounce buffer for a 9mm, which is going to be pretty standard if you're gonna be running it suppressed. But I mean, you can see.
Cool. Good. We had someone ask, "Will we be able to use our own parts and pieces, or will we be limited to the parts provided?" Do you guys want to talk through? I feel like that's maybe a question that anybody could ask about any of our build courses. You want to talk through kind of the differences between what's going to be required as a student maybe and what you could do before, during, after?
There are certain things that you'll only be able to use with the New Frontier Armory, such as the last round bolt hole bin, which is something we haven't discussed, but in some cases the last round doesn't hold open on the PCC. But there is a mechanism for this one to do that, but it's proprietary. Some of the other parts are proprietary, such as the mag release. So they're not like the AR-15 where you can change that out so readily. But things like, buttstock, if you want to change out the pistol grip, I don't see any problem with that. But leave that up to the discretion of your instructor, because sometimes, that can cause academic issues, not saying that there is any, but just clear that with your instructor, I would say beforehand.
Mm-hmm. I would say probably if you do have the parts, leave it stock until you after you complete the program. Mm-hmm. And then once you graduate or once you're finished with that program, go wild.
Yeah.
Cool. Here's a question for you on PCCs in general. When training with a PCC versus a rifle caliber, is there a different accuracy you need to be training differently for each person? Anybody feel like they have enough to go off of on that one?
I can take that. So there's going to be different ballistics for, say, a 9mm versus a 5.56. I mean, you're going to have a ton to drop at 100 yards for a 9mm versus a 5.56. You're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a few feet of drop at 100 yards for a 9mm versus maybe a few inches for a 5.56. So most of the training is going to be more so for handling and controls. A lot of your controls are going to be the same, the trigger manipulation, the selector manipulation. The mag release is going to be fairly same. So it's going to allow you to train more so for the platform at a lower price and lower recoil. Both ballistics are definitely going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let me pull up a couple questions about the course, and we may or may not have touched on some of these. I did want, though, this was worded interestingly to me. Tom emailed it and said, is this an assembly course for the student who will receive the parts and instruction on how to put them together, or more of a quote-unquote build class where students will receive components that need to be completed? Now, I know we talked about the 80% receiver. There's also a follow-up question here about will there be a jig provided? So do we want to dive into the jig piece of that? I know that there's, I think even, Gary, you have an example of that kind of thing.
I do, and I'll pull that up again here on the side, and if you were paying attention before, you probably saw it.
Yep.
But the jig component is in shown.
And Gary, that's the 80% arms Gen 2.
Yep. And so the only thing that I don't have shown here is the actual bits that come with it. And also for the PCC that we're sending out, there's a crow's foot wrench that we're sending out as well, because the barrel nut requires it. And so other than that, it's pretty standard. It is a build class, to address your first point there. Mm-hmm. In the same vein as our AR-10, AR-15 courses. There's some minor variation with this, but pretty much for the for milling out the trigger pocket, it's the same jig that I use for my AR-15, so it's compatible for mm-hmm. that. And so there was a question, and I guess I can just touch upon it a little bit. And then Frankie, if you want to go full bore on the rest of it, but what kind of things do you need to assemble this and to make it functional? Definitely need a drill press, a router. I suspect that you would need a trim router, quarter inch trim router is best. And then, you know, obviously you need to assemble, have a vise and that sort of thing. But Frank, I don't know if you want to address that, or I didn't mean to step on your toes there, Jennifer, but.
No, that's perfect.
Address that, yeah.
I guess the only other thing that I would add is with the jig kit that we're sending out, not only is it possible to build your 9mm AR-15 lower receiver, but you can actually use it on standard AR-15 lower receivers. So it's not quite the universal kit, but any of the small frame stuff it'll do. So that's your AR-15s, your AR-9s, your AR-45s. So all that stuff will be done with just the one jig. I guess going back to the tool list, we do provide a tool list. We have a recommended list of routers, and we have a recommended list of other tools that we actually send out too.
And I'm trying to keep up with some of these questions in the Q&A section as well. This one's come up kind of a lot. So just to clarify, Joel says he's a current student. Will I have to do anything to get into this course, or will I be automatically enrolled? About 4 weeks prior to when your firearms technology elective course is going to happen. So you have a course called FTT 299, I believe, and you have a couple different options to get those credits. We have a non-build course, which is about creating a business plan. We have an AR-10 armorer course, an AR-15 armorer course, a 1911 armorer course, and now this FDT 209 is the pistol caliber carbine. So you will have those five options to choose from for your one elective course. You'll hear from your student services advisor a couple weeks prior to that course with a form that you'll fill out to make that selection. At that point, you have a tough call, you know what I mean? And in fact, here's something that I was, as you guys were talking through, Gary and Frank, I had a little bit of a huh moment. I want to hear from people who are on the line right now. We have 118, 120 people on with us right now. If you were a student, and some of you are, and you had to pick today from AR-15, AR-10, 1911, or PCC, let's say, which one would you choose today? If that form hit your email right now, which one would you choose? It's always fun for me to see, you know, a student group, a Facebook student group that students and grads are in, and it's always interesting to see, what would you choose? I'm thinking of this, and I'm thinking of that. So was just kind of
them all.
I know, right? Yeah.
From somebody that has them all, I gotta say, every kit that we send out is an awesome kit. Mm-hmm. The 1911, I would have to say, is hands down the best 80% kit on the market.
Cool.
Just because we've built a couple of them.
Yep.
Our AR-10 kit or LR-308 kit is awesome because we send out basic arrow kits. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the AR-15. And now with the PCC, the New Frontier kit is awesome. So
yeah,
there isn't a kit that we offer that's not cool.
Mm-hmm. But just to clarify, you choose one of them. You don't choose all of them.
If I had to choose, I would probably say the PCC kit. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, cool. Good. Very nice. And a couple people kind of missed what caliber it's offered in. Can you guys go ahead and redefine that for me?
So only 9mm. Mm-hmm. So after you complete your build, if you wanted to convert it to, say, a 40, that's a simple magazine and upper change.
Mm-hmm.
Same with 357 SIG. I did see some questions about the 45 build. No, this will not accept 45 parts because that's a large frame Glock. So that's a completely different platform, different lower, different upper, everything. So we only offer a 9, but if you do want to change calibers later down the line, you can do 40 or 357 SIG.
Okay, cool. That's perfect. Okay, here's me not knowing as much as you guys do. I feel like there's been a little bit of chatter about keeping the bolt locked in place on a PCC. So for example, with pistol caliber carbines, I've noticed a few companies talking about building a delayed blowback system for bolt, or to keep the bolt locked in place long enough to give the bullet enough time to leave the barrel. And then another one that was in the Q&A section talks clearly about the bolt. Kits? Go ahead, Frank.
So those are two different topics. I think the first question is actually talking about the action system.
Okay.
I think they're referring to delayed blowback.
Yeah.
So currently on the market, CMMG makes a firearm called the Banshee.
Yep.
That is a delayed blowback gun. I believe they use a radially delayed blowback system.
It's called radial blowback.
So with that, a traditional AR, when the bolt comes into the extension and turns, it locks into place. The Banshee uses a system of a rotating bolt, but it doesn't actually lock. The rear of the lugs are actually slanted, and the inside of the barrel extension slanted. So as soon as any kind of pressure starts pushing against that bolt, it automatically starts unlocking. The turning of the bolt itself is what makes it delayed and slows the whole system down, so we don't have blowback or any kind of other issues. There is another company called, Inkstead Arms, and mm-hmm. they make a roller delayed blowback system.
We have a graduate at Inkstead Arms, actually.
So, their system is, it's almost exactly similar to the HK MP5 style of delayed blowback systems. But there's a few companies out there that are doing that. To address the second part of that, I think somebody was asking about the lockback. Yes, the New Frontier Armory system does use a last round bolt hold open system. Their system is comprised of a last round bolt hold open trip in the upper part of the receiver, which is going to be this little housing right here. When the magazine's empty, the follower contacts a piece in this housing, mm-hmm. and it actually trips the bolt catch in the lower. A few other companies are coming out with last round bolt hold open systems, just because I think they're trying to address the concerns with some of the first PCs that came out. They wouldn't lock back on the last round. So I want to say a good majority of the major companies that are offering them right now do have a last round bolt hold open.
Yep. Okay, great. Let me ask, Aaron asks, will the overall platform provided include anything like a silent retention buffer assembly over a standard carbine spring and jazz?
No, just right.
Nope, we're sending out a standard carbine buffer spring and a standard carbine buffer at 3 ounces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. PCC general question here. Are you guys seeing, understanding that it's not going to be covered in the course, not how it comes, are you guys seeing a specific caliber that has been most reliable or best to use on this platform? It's kind of an opinion question, well, right?
Popularity,
yeah.
It would be 9mm because it's the, again, going back to the ethos of it, 9mm is pretty cheap overall, mm-hmm. and a lot of guys use it, and they've made 9mm, they've probably had so many more advancements in the past 10 years on that caliber than any caliber that I know of. So that's really important to understand, but, you know, that it has its disadvantages. It's, you know, you have to make it subsonic. It's naturally, supersonic. So if you want to, you know, suppress it and you wanted to buy that certain ammo, you can do that. Mm-hmm. But something like 45 caliber is naturally subsonic. So, it's really up to the person who's using it. For competition, for example, you want to keep, something, the power factor is what they call it. It's a calculation that they use that's acceptable for competition. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. And there's just, we'll cover all this stuff in the course, but there's all sorts of different types of ammunition, because ammunition is crucial to the operation of a PCC, more so, way more so than anything that's gas operated, in my opinion.
And why is that from a theory perspective? Why?
Because there's no assist from gas operation to help cycle the action. So even something like that CMMG that he's talking about, even though it does lock, the unlocking of that is just inertia, which is recoil. For the recoil operation of this particular platform, recoil is 100% activated by the pressure from the round itself, the recoil of the round itself. There is the SIG MPX, does have a gas operation, but the boost, it's pretty much like a small boost, and that's right outside of the chamber. So you're getting pretty much as you'll get out of the operation of that recoil from that SIG. But pretty much all the other platforms are all recoil operation, and whether it be delayed or straight blowback.
Mm-hmm. I guess to kind of expand on that too, PCCs are actually changing the landscape of ammunition manufacturers, especially because the popularity of the 9mm platform shot through longer barrels. They're actually starting to offer PCC-specific ammunition, which means they're going to be offering pistol ammunition, usually uses a faster-burning powder so that it can fully burn in a shorter pistol barrel. But now that people are actually using this ammunition in longer barrels, they're manufacturing it with a little bit slower propellant, so they can get that velocity increase with the longer barrel. Mm-hmm. So, and then I guess to go back to the popularity thing, 9mm, I'd have to say, is overwhelmingly the most popular PCC caliber, followed probably closely by the 45 ACP.
Very cool. Can it fire hollow point bullets?
Yep.
Okay.
And keep in mind, when you talk about a PCC other than a pistol, the one that we send out does not have a feed ramp. It actually has a cone, which is pretty much, I guess you could call it, milled into the actual chamber mouth itself. So there are some models, and you can get these aftermarket where they have like a legitimate ramp, like you would see in a pistol or like a 1911 or something like that. With PCC that we send out, and a lot of them that you see in the industry, It's just a cone outside and it helps feed it. So, but I think that Frank shot some hollow point out of this one, had no issues. I've only shot ball ammo out of mine. So.
Okay, cool. And we lost it, Frank. I'm sure he'll try to hop back on, but let me, I have a question about the course here. With the PCC, do you get to do the lower and the upper? Do you want to talk through the difference between the pieces of the kit, the lower and the upper that they'll get as part of that?
Sure. Well, if I could, the upper, you'll have to disassemble. And so the differences between an upper that you'll get for the PCC and an upper, say, for example, for AR-15, you'll have the bolt. And one of the major differences between a bolt of a PCC and a bolt of AR-15 is that the actual firing pin has a spring instead of a free-floating firing pin that you see in the AR-15. Also, the bolt itself is heavier, and that's to help with the overall system, since that is crucial to the operation of the system. And also, the upper receiver, as we discussed before, has a last round bolt hole open device. There is no ejection port cover or ejection port. Ejection port cover on this one that's springed. Charging handle is the same. There is no gas operation, so there's no, the carrier itself is pretty much just links up like it would, it's just solid, or there you go. And then so that just could links up to your charging handle, but there is no hole in the charging handle, so you don't have to put that, the gas tube through. So pretty much it's just a straight barrel, and there's no, gas operation there. And with the lower, there is a piece that does coincide with it's basically a magazine retention, I guess you could say, for the Glock. So it's angled, it's a plate basically that once you load it into it, I forgot the name of it. Frank, you know what I'm talking about, right? What's that called? The I'm trying to think of the name of it. But anyways, there are differences because that plate helps you assist. I think it's the actual ejector, the fixed ejector. And so that is crucial to the operation. Sorry, I just had a brain fart there. But that is a difference between that and the AR-15 versions. Not only does it stop the actual magazine and angles there, it actually, you'll see there that piece on top is the ejector. It's a fixed ejector rather than a spring ejector you'd see on the AR-15 bolt itself. So.
Great.
Other differences for the lower, the mag release button's different, and it's a little bit, because it actually operates on the Glock magazine. So the Glock magazine, the catch is located at a different place than it would be on AR-15. So thanks for demonstrating and thanks for coming back.
Yeah, sorry, I must have lost my internet or something.
Yeah, we figured it was something. Okay, cool. Are PCCs temperamental to brass or aluminum casing ammo, as some AR-15s are?
I wouldn't say brass or aluminum. I think the biggest issue there would probably be steel.
Steel, yeah.
As long as the ammunition is set to a minimum pressure, and it's not like a low pressure competition rounds or some kind of reloads or something like that, you should be fine. Mm-hmm. The only time you might have to worry is high pressure rounds. So your plus P stuff or your self-defense things, it shouldn't cause too much of an issue, but going back to the topic of suppressors, it might run the bolt faster than need be. So there might be a problem there, but again, the fix for that is more mass in the buffer.
Okay. Very nice. Let's take it one level back. Kip Gaudette says, okay, novice here. Welcome, Kip. I was excited when I heard PCC because I recently purchased a Ruger PCC. I'm now learning the PCC can also be an AR style type firearm. Key differences. I feel like we did that right at the beginning, but it is a little bit of one of those weird concepts. So can you guys reiterate that a little bit for me?
The Ruger PCC, it's going to be a direct blowback gun. I think the biggest differences are just going to be style and controls. The action is going to be fairly similar. And I believe the PCC is a breakdown gun. Or the PC, the Ruger PC is a breakdown gun. So that would be another major difference.
And I think Ruger PC Carbine, they have a variant that takes different types of mags. But from a developmental perspective, the PCC that you will receive goes back to the Colt SMG. And so that's kind of the lineage of that. Although we have the industry has changed more to Glock style magazines because they're so popular. So that's what we went with, the company but companies out there, they provide both. And that we got that question earlier, is it Colt SMG mags or is it Glock mags? And we went Glock mags because it's so popular. And it goes back also to the other ethos of the PCC, which is interchangeability from your Glock, which is super popular, and your PC. So you're just using the same mag, saving money on the same caliber, and it's kind of one complete system.
Frank, I saw you just typed an answer to the buffer one, but I feel like we've got a ton of questions on buffers. Do these require, one person asked, what size buffer is used? Is this an H1, H2, H3? Let's expand on that a little bit, make sure everybody hears it.
So they ship with a standard buffer, which is not an H1, 2, or 3. A standard buffer is 3 ounces. I believe a H1 is 3.7, an H2 is right around 4.3, and an H3 is 5 ounces. 5 ounces is actually a really good weight for a 9mm PCC, but we do ship them, like I said, with a standard 3 ounce buffer. When you get your kit and you build it, I would definitely recommend test firing it first. If there is an issue, then maybe consider switching one of those later on. But if there's no issue initially, I would say let's just stick with the lightest buffer that we have.
Very nice. And then give me a little bit more detail on mags as well. A couple questions have come in over the last half an hour or so on types of mags that you can use with that or what comes with the kit.
So the kit ships with a 10-round, I believe they're ETS, the translucent magazines. Mm-hmm. But like I stated earlier, this mm-hmm. will take the smallest, the Glock 26 magazine, which is 13 rounds, I believe. So the 26, the 19, the 17, and then their extended 33-round magazines, and pretty much any of the 9mm aftermarket stuff. So your ETS mags, your Magpul, and there's a few other companies out there. So any of your standard 9mm double stack block magazines will work.
Great. Will the course discuss ballistic and or best practices for zeroing? Gary, I think?
Ballistics is a huge part of this course. As far as shooting is concerned, I would definitely, harken back to trying to get close contact with your any kind of competition guys out there that would teach you more about the fundamentals of shooting PCC. But the ballistics portion of this, ammo and ballistics are huge for this particular platform. And there's two chapters that's dedicated to ammunition components and ballistics. And so, it's a great question, but yes, we do cover that. And you'll see that in the course.
Cool.
Also, there is a small section discussing the ballistics of the 9mm cartridge coming out of a pistol versus a 16-inch rifle. Mm-hmm. So you guys kind of will learn the differences there and the advantage of having a long barrel with a platform like that. The numbers are actually pretty surprising with different types of ammunition. So you guys will all see that here really soon.
Okay. And then a little bit of a follow-up on the course topics. How far in depth, if at all, does the course address the non-AR platforms like the CZ Scorpion, the H&K, mm-hmm. All of those kind of variants?
I did a lot of thinking about that, and I try to be as comprehensive as possible with that topic. Mm-hmm. So if if it was a platform that had a major development, something like an HK MP5, for example, roller delayed, so we discussed that. And so if it's a particular platform that fundamentally changed the different ways of operation, I definitely discussed it. Is every submachine gun in there? No, but you have to understand there's hundreds and hundreds of different types of submachine guns. But what I did try to do was write the course, keeping in mind the components, the assemblies, and also the operation. And if you understood the operation of it and some of the models that are out there, then you should be good to go. And so I stuck with that. But to answer some of those questions, CZ Scorpion's in there. I go all the way back to the Bergmann MP18. We discuss the Borchardt machine pistols. We go into the PDW. We go into the most recent, which was the Army went with it was not a PDW, but the Army went with a newer submachine gun, something they haven't done in years, and that's the B&T APC-9. So there's lots of things that's current in there, and also things that we've discussed going back even to the concept of what is a carbine, going back to the concept of what is a pistol. So it goes, and I've tried to marry the two because, to be honest, the pistol caliber carbine is not something that you would see traditionally from a military standpoint. Even that term is non-academic. So, but we do go back into what is a pistol, what is a carbine, and how did we get there from here?
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Okay, great. And I know we're coming up in the last few minutes here. Let's do one more on the PCC in general. So is the PCC temperamental with bullet weight? I know that we've talked a little bit about ammo already. Does it run better with, say, a 115 grade, or can we use grain, or can we use heavier rounds? Any thought process on that?
I have actually had a chance to put this thing through its paces. So I have ran everything from the Liberty Ammunition. They make a 50 grain projectile, and I've ran that with zero issue. All the way up to about 165 grain subsonic projectile with zero issue. So going back to kind of tuning in the buffer weights thing, once you get that set, you should be able to run a variety of ammunition with zero issues, ball, hollow point, polymer tipped, like I said, everything from about 50 grain, which those things were moving a little bit over 2,000 feet per second coming out of that rifle, to everything as heavy as, like I said, 165 grain subsonic stuff. So.
Great. Okay, cool. Oh, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, keep in mind that if you're going to compete with it, that power factor, there is that calculation. So, and I think it's the velocity divided by the grain or something like that. I'd have to go back. But keep that in mind when you're discussing using the type of ammunition before you go into the competition, because they're going to test that to qualify you for that match.
Mm-hmm. And somebody asked earlier about where they could find information on local competitions and that type of thing. Any guidance on that?
Go to their website. They'll have local matches in your area, whether it be USPSA or 3-gun or 2-gun. Mm-hmm. And just go to USPSA and check that out. And mm-hmm. or any of those matches, you'll find them online. And they'll have a drop down and a training calendar and a match calendar mm-hmm. for ranges in your area.
Okay, great. There were a couple last questions on the course itself, availability, et cetera. I'll talk us through a little bit of that. excuse me. So a couple people have asked, when is the PCC course available for enrollment? And the answer to that is right now. Essentially how this works is once you're a student, let's say you're a student in a program, because there are two different ways to do this, and it's been asked kind of both ways in the chat and Q&A. If you are a student in either the Associate of Science in Firearms Technology degree program or the Advanced Gunsmithing Certificate program, you'll do this course toward the end as your firearms elective course. And PCC will be one option of five. So if you wanted to take this course whenever you are naturally progressing through your program to that course, you'll have the option to select this one. It's easy peasy. Your student services advisor is going to keep you in the loop on that. I know a couple of you said, oh, I just made my selection, can I change it? Yep, you know, email student services, will take care of you. Those advisors are great people and very helpful. So just make sure you're keeping in contact with them. If you're not sure when in your schedule you're gonna see that, same thing, email your student services advisor, or you can access it in your student portal. For those of you who are not SDI students and you're thinking, I don't know if I wanna do a full program, but maybe I wanna do this build, totally okay to do that as well. I know that there was a question on cost. All of your cost questions, total program cost, et cetera, can be found at the website. So go to sdi.edu. There's a tuition and funding tab in the navigation bar. Go down there and look for tuition and fees. It lays out for you both of the main programs and then individual courses just below that. So it'll be based off of per credit hour and that type of thing. And there's an educational resource fee each semester. All of that's laid out for you in detail on that website page. If you have any questions at all, admissions at sdi.edu, and they can also help get you in touch with financial. If you're doing it as a standalone course, and I said financial aid, I meant financial services. If you're doing it as a standalone course, it is not available or approved for use of TA or VA benefits, nor federal student aid for eligible students. Those three funding options are only available to students in programs for SDI, so the degree program or the certificate. I think that was all of the questions on that one. But if you do have questions and you're a current student, go to your student service advisor. If you have questions and you are not a current SDI student, email admissions@sdi.edu and we will help walk you through all of those details. If you're a current student and don't know who your student services advisor is, email any of us and we'll point you in the right direction. We work as a collective team here. Okay, I think that's it for us. We are right on the hour. I am so, you guys, there have got to be 25 or 30 more questions in here that we So very, very sorry if I didn't get to your questions. Tried to make sure we were hitting as many of the broad topics as possible. And if you do have follow-up questions, feel free to hit up marketing@sdi.edu and we'll see if we can either do maybe a follow-up webinar or answer a couple onesie twosies, that kind of thing. Want to make sure that you guys have a good understanding of both ideas and the course availability. So we are here to help. Before I wrap up for the evening, Frank and Gary, I know that people had asked about your businesses again. So secondary shameless plug, go for it. Frank, I'll start with you. Name, location, and where they can find information about your shop if they want.
It's Heritage Gunworks out of Lakewood, Colorado. I'm on Instagram under Heritage Gunworks, all one word.
Awesome. And Gary?
East Valley Gunworks, and that's here in Queen Creek, Arizona. And I have a Facebook page, so check
it out. Awesome. Very nice. And Sonoran Desert Institute, sdi.edu. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and many other places. Probably most active on Facebook and Instagram. Would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out in any way, social media or otherwise. You can email, like I said, admissions@sdi.edu, or for those of you who are listening in, if you have ideas for other webinar topics that you'd like to, you know, hear us delve into, please feel free to email those to marketing@sdi.edu as well. If you're a student and you're doing the PCC build, you better believe we want to see pictures of that. Email those to marketing@sdi.edu. Can't wait to see how all of you do with this course. And Frank and Gary, huge thank you for being with us tonight. This was a really popular topic, and I appreciate the depth that we went into tonight. I'm sure it was very helpful for people. So thank you, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for all joining us. And
Any final thoughts? Anything before we sign off? Okay, we are good to go. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patty's Day. Everybody stay safe out there. No COVID-19 for any of us. And if we can do anything at all to help you in the future, please let us know. Everybody have a wonderful evening and we hope to hear from you soon. Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good evening.
Thanks.
We hope you all enjoyed that. I certainly have, actually, for the purposes of making sure you guys got the best sound quality from this meeting that I could. Actually, I've listened to it 3 times now, and so that's 3 hours put in for you people. You are quite welcome. But really, Gary is I don't know if he knows this. I consider him a friend of mine. He's really good people. Frank is great too. And listening to them talk about something they care about is a lot of fun. So I had fun listening to it three times. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as well. For now, that's going to do it. We will be back next week, and we will be here every week as long as the current events keep so many people homebound, and probably quite a bit beyond that. We are here for you guys, and we hope you guys are staying safe and staying healthy. And that's enough about that. So have fun out there, and we'll see you at the range. Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school located at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona, accredited by the DEAC. For more information, please call 800-336-8939 or visit sbi.edu.